This podcast brought to you by Konica Minolta. Rent an eligible A3 color multifunction printer and receive 3 months free rental. See konicaminolta.com.au for terms and conditions.
Social Services Minister Scott Morrison has had a very high profile over the past week, releasing both his changes to the pension and the government's new childcare system. He joins me every Monday. We're most fortunate, even in these times when he's flat out, he's got a time for us.
Always
Minister,
Ray.
Good morning.
Always, Ray. G'day. How you doing?
Now, I don't want your blood pressure getting up. I've seen you on Sky News overnight. The Australian is reporting you had a conversation last week with the Prime Minister about Joe Hockey getting his job if the budget fails to impress.
Rubbish.
Beg your pardon?
It's absolute rubbish.
You want them to write gossip columns.
But it's total gossip and rubbish. I mean, I was as shocked as anyone else to read that. It was just ridiculous.
Mm. But, you know, even allowing for that, and immodest, you know, you can be as immodest as you like here, but you are a very good media performer. And I'm not talking about, you know, pretending to act or something like that. You always have a great retention, whether you're immigration minister or social services minister, of the facts. And it was illustrated when you were on with my colleague last week, Alan Jones. It's illustrated when you're on with me every Monday. You've either got someone passing you the information very, very quickly, or it's stored in your head.
Well, it's a mixture of both. I mean, as politicians, it's our job to explain what we're doing, and that's what I've been seeking to do over the last couple of weeks. And it's been a team effort. We've all been part of what we're doing. It's not unlike, you know, the way that a prop forward takes the ball up. I mean, that's the job, and that's my job, and to ensure that prior to the budget, we're explaining some pretty big changes, Ray. And I think it's a good idea for us to go out there before the budget on two really big issues, the pension and childcare. I think people are really interested in the changes and they want some time to digest it. And that's what we've been giving them. And I think that's a good way to try and help people understand the sensible and responsible changes we're making.
Given you've made that comparison, you're not suggesting Joe's a fleet-footed winger, are you?
Well, in this role, that's him. He's our Greg Bird. I'll be the prop forward taking it up, and he can be the one who will score the try, and that's what he'll be doing on budget day.
Yeah, given Bird's currently suspended for 8 weeks, it's a really poor analogy.
It probably is, but anyway. Not to worry, he's the guy who'll be scoring the points.
I don't think Joe wants to be Greg Bird on Wednesday morning.
No, true.
Okay, let's say he's your Greg Inglis.
Yeah, all good.
Okay, now, but you see, it's very complicated, the stuff you tried to explain yesterday, successfully doing it, of course, in relation to childcare. So would it be fair to say, given it's your portfolio, and I don't wish to, you know, he's a very intelligent man, Joe Hockey, but given you've got intimate knowledge of how it works, if there are any curly ones from the media, it'd be better for you to answer them than Joe, would it not?
Well, that's how it's always done. I mean, the things that we've announced in the last week, Ray, are the things that fall clearly within my portfolio, and whether it's on pensions or childcare, and you're right. I mean, what we announced yesterday was a $3.5 billion package where all the additional money is going to help families on lower to middle incomes and families who are disadvantaged and families who are vulnerable. I mean, children at risk, kids with disabilities. That's where all the extra money's going. Now, we're going to pay for that by the savings we made in family tax benefits, which we put to the Senate last year, and Labor continue to oppose just because they oppose everything. But we're going to continue to have a constructive discussion with the crossbenchers about this. I think this is a fair package. I think it's responsible. And I think it's going to help a lot of families because we all know all mums work, and they all work really, really hard. And the majority of mums also, and increasingly, are also in paid employment. And that what this package does is it helps those families to be in paid employment because they need to do that to pay the bills.
Not everyone's going to be happy.
No, of course they're not. But, I mean, a couple of areas where the Labor Party's been having a crack, they've been going on about the removal of childcare benefits for people earning over $65,000 who aren't engaged in work or looking for work or studying or anything like that. Well, that's around 5,000 people on the current system. And we're simply saying that if you're in that situation and you're looking for childcare, well, by all means, you can go down and buy some. It's not like we're saying you can't use childcare. It's just the taxpayer won't be subsidising it. And for those on lower incomes, under 65,000 or 60,000 now is the comparison, I mean, they currently have an eligibility without having to do any of the activity of 48 hours a fortnight, 24 hours a week. Mm. But we know that the vast majority of 25,000 of them are consuming 17 hours or less. So the taxpayer's getting billed for 24, they're consuming 17 hours or less, And we're fixing that up. So I think it's sensible. I think it's fair. And you've got to pay for it.
Now, you had a crack at double-dipping public servants in relation to super.
Mm.
Now you're cracking down on double-dipping when it comes to paid parental leave. Explain how that can happen.
Well, currently under the system, if your employer gives you a paid parental leave payment when you go off and have kids, you can also claim the taxpayer-funded one as well of 18 weeks.
Mm.
And what we're saying is you just get the one. Now, if you get a paid parental leave payment from your employer, which is less than what you would have got from the general scheme, well, you get the top up. So everyone gets the same paid parental leave at the end of the day.
Mm.
We've got around 50,000, or just under that, I should say. We've got around 45,000 people who, under this change, will get slightly less paid parental leave. And there's around 34,000 who won't get the paid parental leave from the government because they're already getting it from their employer.
Mm.
And I just don't seem to see how it's fair that someone who, just because they work for the government or they work for a big corporate, gets to take their own paid parental leave, which can be in many cases over 20 grand, and then turn around to the taxpayer and say, I'd like 11 grand from you as well. And we're saying, no, that's not fair, and we're going to stop it.
I was contacted last week by a number of people, listeners that is, concerned about pension changes,
mm.
the way the asset test would affect them after we'd spoken about it.
Yeah.
One of the main concerns was about access to the Commonwealth Seniors Health Card.
Yep.
Under the tougher assets test to access the part pension, eligibility for that doesn't change. Is that right?
That's right, and we're guaranteeing it for everyone who would be affected by the change in the assets test. Now, it's likely that they would qualify regardless, but we're going to put belts and braces on this and make sure that anyone affected by those changes, when they come into effect in January 2017, will get the Commonwealth Seniors Health Card, which gives them the same discounts on pharmaceuticals, access to bulk billing, and all the safety net and so on that pensioners get.
Question. He says, I'm a self-funded retiree of 69. I worked until I was 67, so 2 years ago. I've got a house worth $750,000, $750,000 in super, and about $530,000 in shares. If I cashed in my shares and super and sold my house and bought a $2 million house, would I get the pension?
Well, what he'd be doing was throwing away $1.2 million in basically income-earning assets
exactly.
to get a pension of a little over 20 grand a year. Mm. That'd be a pretty silly thing to do. I think the protection against that is common sense.
Mm. Now, I took a call from Peter. Let me play what Peter had to say. Peter, g'day.
G'day, Ray. How are you going?
Good, Pete. Where are you?
Mate, I'm stopped up here in the Northern Beaches. I live up in the Hunter Valley.
Good on you,
mate. I went to my doctor yesterday, forked over me $70.
Yep.
Went to the Medicare office. It was closed. We are now joined with Centrelink. So I crossed over to Centrelink, and all the misery that was there, I went up to the girl with the clipboard, and she said I was about an hour and a half wait.
How long?
About an hour and a half.
That struck me pink.
Anyway, I said, well, look, I've got work to go and do. She said, you can do it online. So I said, okay. So I went home after I finished work last night and dutifully got online the MyGov and filled it all in. And at the end of it, it said, we can't process. You need to ring this phone number. So I rang the phone number, spoke to the lady on the line. She went through the thing. Yes, no, you'll have to post that in.
Did she give you an explanation as to why you can't do it online?
Well, because my doctor charges $70 for standard consultation, which is just what we have to put up with up there. And that exceeds the Medicare limit.
It exceeds the Medicare limit, so you've got to do it.
Of what they can refund.
So, Minister, I know Medicare comes under the Health Minister, but now that they're going to Centrelink, and I've got a few more calls and emails about that.
Yeah.
Lisa called and said, look, the Medicare app's wonderful, and she's got that, and she's a young mum and acts as a Medicare app, but we're having this in New South Wales with these service centres where the RMS, formerly the RTA, boat licences, birth, deaths and marriages and all that stuff's all in one place. My view is it doesn't work as effectively as Duncan Gay thinks it's going to work, and I'm worried about this as well, where you put, you know, Centrelink and Medicare claims all in the one place.
Well, the more important reform is that's where they're physically located for people going over the counter. But what we announced some weeks ago now was we're doing a complete overhaul of the entire IT system for for human services, which is Centrelink and Medicare, and because it, you know, hasn't had any major change, big revision of it since Peter Brock was winning in Bathurst. So it needs a big overhaul, and we're committing to that in this budget. We announced that a little while ago. Look, those situations sadly continue to happen, and it's frustrating, I know, for your caller, as it is for the rest of us. I mean, that was a time up in the Hunter where I understand it, that there was also a lot of work being done around emergency payments because of what was happening at the time, and I'm sure people would understand that. But the high cap system is the one where you can make sure the rebates are all being done automatically when you go to your doctor, and that's a good system. And had that been done in the first place, then no one would have had to have walked into a Centrelink office in the first place.
Okay. As always, thanks for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Ray. Good to be with you.
There's the Social Services Minister, Scott Morrison. Now,
this podcast brought to you by Konica Minolta. Rent an eligible A3 colour multifunction printer and receive 3 months free rental. See konicaminolta.com.au for terms and conditions.